Hello everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is Laurent Bugnon, I'm a cloud advocate with Microsoft, sorry about that. And today we are going to talk to you in this new Learn Life series about Git source control. And I'm going to be joined out of Spain by my colleague Unai. Hello Unai, how are you?
Hello Laurent, I'm really happy to be here for this second session on Git. Some of you may remember me from the first one. My name is Unai, Azure Technical Trainer, and I'm really happy to tell you more about Git. I've been helping many customers working on Git, migrating from centralized to distributed, and can't wait to show you, again, for the second time, the cool benefits Git is bringing us. What about you, Laurent?
Yeah, I'm very excited too, because Git has, taken such an important place in my life. And you're a little bit younger than me, but I'm old enough to remember when source control was this, okay? That's a 3.5 floppy disk. And what we were doing in the times when I started coding in the 90s was basically doing a zip file and putting this zip file on a 3.5 disk and then saving that somewhere. So this was source control in the days. But of course, after that, we started using, software, and the first source control software I used, I can't remember how it was called, but it was on DOS back then. And then after that, we went to a Visual Source Safe. And so Visual Source Safe is one that I really remembered. It was a centralized source control system. Later, we got Subversion, which was also centralized. And then eventually, we finally got, distributed source control with Git. And of course, GitHub, which is a real game changer for the collaboration. And so for everyone here in the audience, we want to remind you, or possibly tell you if that's the first one that you see, that this is the second of a four edition series on Git. And the very first one was last week. We have this one today. And last week, you, Unai, and another trainer called Peter, you talked about the introduction to Git. And today we are going to do the collaboration with Git. And then after that, next week, you are going to talk about branching and merging with Git, and eventually talking about GitHub. So maybe it's a good place to remind people that, first of all, this is an introduction. So if you're looking for 400 level, this is not the place to be here. We are doing an introduction to Git. It's a great place to maybe remember some of the concepts that you learned a long time ago, or maybe even to learn a new concept. And also, Unai, I think we are not really going to talk about GitHub here, right?
No, so we have other two sessions coming. We may reference GitHub a little bit because that's how we mainly work normally. Even if we are looking for the insights of Git here, we'll show you the normal ways or the more frequent ways that we work with Git in the end, okay? Just reminding you, this is a live session, so please let us know where you come from, what's your experience with Git. Let us know any questions you may have, and we'll try to answer them, okay? So as Laurent was explaining, four-part series, this is the second one, and it's related to this module that we call Collaborate with Git that you can access through aka.ms/learn-git-collaborate. If I actually open it on my screen, let's try to show it to you. So I'm gonna try to load that website. You'll see that this is a real module we are gonna be talking about, okay, composed of multiple sections. We are gonna be covering cloning, pushing changes, stashing the changes, so letting them a little bit outside, and how to do this pull requesting flow in the end, okay? Today, more from a command line perspective. Probably in the next sessions will be more related to this GitHub kind of flow with pull requests. Okay, so please feel free, once you watch this session, jump into the module, review everything Laurent and I will be explaining. Feel free to try it, right, Laurent?
Absolutely, and in fact, like you mentioned, this is a live session, and we have moderators who can answer your questions, but we are also happy to answer your questions ourselves. And so if you have questions that you want us to answer live, please put them in the chat. Either the moderators or ourselves are going to be able to do that. And we also want to hear from you. For example, I would be very curious to know, are you using Git right now? If yes, are you using it with GitHub or with another system? Maybe it's Azure DevOps, or maybe it's even your own, source control. We'll show you in the demo a little bit later how you can do that if you want to put, a repo on a share, and then after that have people pulling and pushing from that. So definitely, we'd love to hear from you. What do you do with Git? How do you use it? And any questions that you might have. So without further ado, let's go into the introduction and let's get started. And like Unai said, Unai has already presented the first session 1 week ago. And this session was an introduction to Git. And I think it was something about cats, right, Unai?
Yes, so it was just the very beginning of working with Git. We started covering a little bit what were the Git configuration options, how we can configure Git locally on your computer, define different configuration settings for each repository in case you may be working on personal projects together with some company-related projects. And in the end, what we see here, we just show you a little bit how we keep track of changes, how can you recover from mistakes. And we did all of that based on a demo scenario that was creating some website for cats-related pictures. I told Peter the last time I prefer dogs, actually, but we'll keep it, I think, for this session too with this cat-related website, right?
Well, the good thing is that literally nobody ever thought of putting cats on the internet. So I think you might have a winner here. You might have really the next big idea, and maybe you'll become rich with that. So I think this is really cool idea there.
Great. So yeah, I think that for that one, right? We are going to be following that demo scenario, right?
Exactly. Maybe... So we are going to be following the demo scenario and basically building on top of the demo that you gave in the first session. We are going to see now how you can collaborate, because building a website is the first step into becoming rich. But at some point, you're going to have to collaborate with people. And of course, Git is going to be a great way to collaborate. And so let's imagine that, you have this great idea about the cat website that you mentioned, but suddenly you realize that it's a little bit too big for you, and you maybe go to a pizza party or something, and you decide to collaborate with people and to have them help you with that. And I see that we have already a few answers. So we see some people, JScript, which I think shows that he's using JavaScript, at least I hope so, says that yes, he's using Git daily with GitHub. And so this is great to hear. Like I said earlier on, we are not really going to talk about GitHub in this particular module. That will come later. But again, it's a refresher about some basics of Git. Mohamed said also yes with GitHub. And Andrew says no, he's just learning at the moment. So I think this is the right place to be for you, Andrew, because you're going to see the basics, and then after that, if you stick with us and continue later next week and the week after that, you're going to see how you can start using Git with GitHub as well as with other tools like Visual Studio, for example, Visual Studio Code in particular. So in these pizza parties that I mentioned, we have people who are there, notably our good friend and cat lover. She's a little bit more of a designer, Alice, who says she wants to help us to build this website and maybe to design it a little bit better. And so we are going to have a few steps. So where do we start, Unai?
So in this case, first session was just about ourselves working on a Git repository. Now we have, as Laurent is saying, Alice that wants to help us a little bit with this project. So we'll have to divide or clone this repository. So we need a copy of the first repository, sync between them. We'll see what are the terminology we need in here. The first one will be actually cloning, that will say, hey, I want to be copying repository number A. I'm going to call it B. You can put the name you want to. But in the end, it's going to be kept length. There's going to be a link between the both of them. Okay. And in our case, we are going to be trying to see how we can clone in the same file system. But the most frequent scenario for those ones that are telling us they are using GitHub in this case, the main repository, the original repository, will probably be hosted in GitHub, Azure DevOps, or any other kind of Git hosting service in this case. Okay, so file system, we see it in the actual next slide, right? We have file systems, SSH path, and URL access. Those are the three ways we have for being able to clone a repository. OK, Okay. Mm-hmm. In our case, as we are going to be based in the YES scenario in a local computer, local file system, we'll use the first option right here. But the most common one, I think, will be the URL one. What about you, Laurent? I just used, I think, the third option mainly 95% of times.
Yeah, I would even go as high as 99.9% of times, to be honest. And I think the 0.1% of times where I didn't use a URL was when I was doing the demos of this learn module and training to give you the training, right? So rehearsing and etc. Because it's true that the most common scenario is probably that this repo, the naked repo, if you want, the original repo is probably going to be placed on a website somewhere, possibly GitHub, or maybe there are other providers. For example, Azure DevOps works with Git as well. So this is the most common scenario. But interestingly, using the file system actually allows you to try things out and without risking, you know, to publish anything to the world or etc., allows you to really try things out for yourself. And it's been actually a very interesting scenario for us to work with that. So the demos that we are going to do, this is something that you will be able to do later when you want to, you know, to work again through the steps of the learn module. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. So what are we going to do? Well, first thing, which is really important, is that when you see we are going to work with the CLI, right, with a command line interaction in a console, you're going to work into a sandbox. For us, Unai and myself, we are going to use the cloud shell so that it allows us to collaborate a little bit easier. But whatever you do, you really need to type every single character because in the command line, every single character counts. And you will see what I mean in a moment. Also, notice that we are going to use a Unix syntax. So, you know, casing matters. For example, if you have an uppercase or lowercase, it's not the same in Unix, which is slightly different from Windows. I'm a little bit more used to Windows, but this is good to know. So what are we going to do? In this demo, we are going to clone the repo, which means that we are going to set everything up and we are going to start by really just creating a repo. This is going to be me playing my role or, you know, myself and Unai's role. And then after that, we are going to take the role of Alice and clone the repo. So let's see how this is going to work out. So I'm going to go into a web browser and here you see that I have the module open, all right? So this is exercise one, which is cloning a repo that we are going to do now. And like I said, when you go to this module, it's going to give you a sandbox. And so just to remind you, if you have already done some learn modules like that, or you know, to show that to you, if you have never done it, you have the possibility to do that in a sandbox, which means that everything will be deleted later. So like this, there is no risk. It's absolutely free. Also, you don't need to pay anything for those resources. However, in our case, we are going to do that in the Cloud Shell. It's just so that Unai and I can collaborate on that a little bit easier. So let's see what we have here. We see that we have Git session one, Git session two. I'm going to change to Git session two, which is the one where Unai and myself are going to collaborate. And notice that this is empty. So this is where we are going to start our work. So I'm going to make a directory and I'm going to call that cats. Let's do that. And then I'm going to change to cats. And then in this repository, I'm going to start creating something. So as you see, this is here's the instruction. I have already done that. First thing I'm going to do is git init. And here it depends a little bit on what version of Git you are running. So you need to be a little bit careful here. So let's check out what version I'm running. I'm just going to type git version. And as you see, I'm running a relatively old version of Git here in this environment, which is 2.20. So 2.20 means that I need to go here. If you have a newer version, 2.28 or above, then you can use here the first set of commands. So I'm going to copy that. And the first command is the most important. It's git init. It's going to tell Git to basically prepare this repository for later. And then we are going to do git checkout with a minus B. So the way that Git works, as a quick reminder, is that you have the Git command, and then after that you have a subcommand, which is in that case checkout. Here in that case we had the subcommand init. Sometimes later you will see we have pull, push, commit, etc., etc. And then we have options. In that case, minus B, which is the shortcut for a branch. So we are going to say, please check out the branch called main. And main is very often what people use for the default branch in Git, in GitHub, etc. Sometimes if you go into a little bit older repository, you may see the name master, but we are trying to move away from the terminology master because it's a little bit loaded connotation. You know, it's not something that we like to use so much anymore. So now typically we say the main branch is actually called main, which totally makes sense. Cool. So the next thing that we are going to do, we are going to configure Git, because every time that you commit something, that you push something to a repo, we want to be able to identify you. And this is important because we can like this track down what happened, the whole history of what happened. So to do that, I'm going to type git config, which tells Git to configure. And this is something that you're going to do just the first time that you use Git in a given environment, okay? So git config user.name, and then I'm going to type my name, El Bunion, or I could say, well, in that case, I'm going to be, you know, Unai or myself, etc. So in my case, I'm just going to say El Bunion here, and then I'm going to say git config again, user.email, and just enter my email address at microsoft.com. All right. Once this is done, we can go and start creating files. So you see touch here. Again, if you're coming from Windows like myself, it's a little bit unusual, but this is actually something which tells here Bash, so Linux, to create a new file. And so I'm going to create the new file directly into this cat folder. So I'm going to touch index.html. And so if I do a dir now, you see that the file has been created. That's cool. And then we are going to create a new folder CSS and then touch something inside there as well. So let's do mkdir css, all right? And then I'm going to touch css/site.css, which is creating this file. Now at this point, I have one folder and two files created, and I'm going to add everything into Git. And to do that, I'm going to type git add period. And so again, remember earlier on, right, I told you that every character counts, and the period character here in the command line means this folder. So it means that I'm going to add everything which is inside this folder. And if you forget the period, it's not going to work in the same manner, okay? So be careful about that. And finally, once I have added everything, I'm going to do git commit. So again, this is a very important command in Git, because it's going to tell Git that now I have added everything into Git, but I also want to do a commit, meaning that I do kind of, if you want, a milestone in the history of my project here. And so I'm going to do minus M, which is a message, that's the option. And I say I added index.html and site.css. Try to give a meaningful message, especially if you collaborate, so that anybody who's collaborating with you knows what happened here. All right, you see that I have some confirmation. I have added those. This is good so far. So now we are going to use code. And so Unai, are you using code, Visual Studio Code, in your environment, day-to-day environment, or what do you do typically?
So I'm normally giving workshops to customers, and then we use Visual Studio Code, the full Visual Studio,
right,
a little bit of everything in this case. And mainly just reminder for those that came to the first session, you've seen that Laurent is using the git config without the global parameter. Why? Because we, as we are telling you, we are trying to simulate this scenario from the same computer that we have multiple collaborators. So each repository, each folder will have a different owners. In this case, the first one will be Laurent. Yeah. Also, maybe reminding from the first session how Laurent was saying to use git add period. We said in the first one that you can also skip that step if you put the git commit minus A, which is kind of the same thing. It's just moving from the working directory directly to the repository. Just reminding a little bit those facts we explained on module number one, on session number one, sorry.
That's very good. That's very good to remember. And in fact, later we are going to do a Git commit minus or dash A, minus yeah. A. And so again, we have shortcuts, etc. But it's good to know that you have those two operations coming up, right, when you do a Git commit. So this is good. So Una, you said you are using Visual Studio Code, and I'm using Visual Studio Code a lot. But you know, you can also use Visual Studio Code directly in the Cloud Shell. And this is quite impressive because it gives you a full-blown editor. And for people who have used other editors in Linux, like, for example, Vim, you know that code is kind of an improvement on that, right? So I'm going to open here the index.html in Visual Studio Code. It is empty at this point. This is correct. I have created it using the touch command, but I have not added anything. But here I have a chunk of HTML code. So I'm going to take that, and then I can go and simply here paste it, and then I will save this and close the editor. So here I have a very nice editor in here in Studio directly. So this is pretty good. So once I have done that, the next step is going to be to also edit the CSS file. And so let's change to the CSS file, CSS folder. And then I'm going to do code site.css. You see that I typed a little bit faster here. I use the tab command to autocomplete. Okay, this is something you can do in Bash, which is quite convenient. And then after that, if I go down, you see that I have here again a block of CSS. So I'm going to take this and put this here. Let's go and let's go and save. All right, sorry, I zoomed out a little bit for some reason. I'm not sure what happened here. Voila, now I zoom in a little bit more. Perfect. And so at this point, I can go and save and close the editor. All right. And now it's a little bit too big, so I'm going to zoom. Here we go. Those shortcut commands played against me a little bit here. All right, so now at this point, I have saved that. So now let's go back to the cats directory, which is the top directory that we created earlier on. I'm into cats. And now, you know, we have done some changes. So again, what we are going to do is commit those changes again. So to avoid having to type everything, I'm just going to copy that and paste it here. So in order to paste, you do a right click and then you paste. The first one was executed automatically. Second one, it's waiting for me to press enter, but here it says git add period. I add everything, all the changes, and then git commit -m for message, add simple HTML and style sheet. Let's do that. And we see that we have two false change, 15 insertions. So basically it's counting all the lines that have been added. And that's good. Now, one thing that you can always do in Git is check what happened in the log, check the history if you want. And we are going to do git log, but if you just type git log, it's expanded. It's a little bit hard to read. So here again, we can use an option, which is --- online. And so what's the difference between --- or single minus? Basically, the single minus is often a shortcut. It's a shorter version to do. Like before, we have -b for the branch. If you have the expanded version, it's --. So here, if I do not online, but one line, be careful. Then you see that you have everything on one line and you have here every commit appearing on one line here. So this is convenient. All right, I believe we are at the end of the first demo, which was how to prepare, how to do the setup. So now let's do something a little bit more interesting, which is playing the role of Alice and pulling this, cloning this repo. So in order to do that, I'm going to change to the top folder. And then I'm going to create a new folder, which I'm going to call Alice. So basically, we are here simulating that Alice is on another computer, which is on the same network or even a different network. We are just going to keep everything here because, again, it's an introduction to Git. So I created this folder. I'm going to change there. And now I would like to get everything that the original person did, right? The index.html, the CSS file, but without having to retype everything myself. And the good thing is this git clone command that we are going to use. So how does it work? I'm simply going to say, I want to clone, and then remember clone, you can give a path or a URL. In that case, we give a path, which is, you know, one folder up, and then the folder cats, and then don't forget the period at the end. I want to clone this remote you know, repository, which is called cat, into the current folder, which is the meaning of this period. So now I do that. Now it is done, which means that if I do a dir at this point, you see that I have brought down index.html and CSS and also the site.css, which is inside there. So that's pretty cool. All right. So now at this point, we are ready to continue working. We have cloned that, but I think it would be good probably to see, you know, a quick reminder of what we did. And Unai, I believe you have prepared a whiteboard for that, right?
Yeah, so we have a whiteboard just explaining a little bit this first scenario. So just sharing it right here, pretty simple. We started with this cats main folder that we created a repository with Git in it. Laurent was configuring, he's the owner of the changes on that repository. So we are working on the main branch and we just worked by editing and adding some HTML files. So something wrong here, don't worry. And the CSS folder, okay? So just defining the first main base repository we are gonna be working with. And from there, preparing the context for Alice. So we created another folder called Alice, which will clone the cats repository. Okay, so that will have already, we'll see it later on the next part of the demo, we'll have the copy of what the original one had. And by default, when you do a clone, we'll see that there's also a remote reference to the first one. Okay, a remote called origin automatically that will be pointing to the cats repository. So it knows where it has to take the updates from. Okay, so and synchronizing that happens from cats to Alice. So the direction would be this one right now. Okay, and we'll see how to evolve on this on the next part, right?
Excellent. Laurent?
Great, so I think that brings us to the first knowledge check of the session. Okay,
all
so
right.
Please collaborate with us. And let's go reading the first one. I'll be reading the possible answers we have. So the first question would be, what is the primary advantage of the distributed nature of Git? Option number A, on one letter A, not number. Git automatically merges saved changes from multiple remote authors into a single project repo. Option B, multiple remote contributors can work together on a project without fear of overriding each other's work. Contributors can check changes from another contributor before merging them into their own. Option C, Git distributes files and folder structure to each contributor's machine across a wide area network for safekeeping. This architecture provides highly secure data storage and ensures that project repo data can't be corrupted. So what do you think, Laurent, while our attendees are thinking on an answer?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, really. And, you know, I think that in those polls, there is always one question which you feel is probably not correct, right? And here, the one with the, you know, the wide area network for safekeeping and the secure data storage and can't be corrupted. It sounds like a lot of, you know, a lot of mumbo jumbo, right? And so I feel that it's probably not that one. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. No, seriously speaking, though, I believe that if Git was automatically merging changes, that would be pretty bad. You will see that when you do a push or a pull, there is some automatism which is going on with the merge, but there is definitely, you know, Git is definitely going to ask you if there is a doubt, like, do you want to merge manually, you know, and make sure that everything is going on. So it's definitely not answer A. And answer B, on the other hand, multiple remote contributors can work together on a project. Well, that's kind of exactly the idea of Git, right? There is no fear of overwriting each other because there is this merging scenario with a check. And if there is a conflict, if there is something which feels weird, then Git is going to ask, you know, you should do this merge manually and decide manually who wins basically between the remote and the local file. So I think that this is clearly answer B. And I'm curious how many of you on the chat have said B, and I see that everyone in YouTube and Twitch is answering B. And so this is good to know, and it means that you have followed pretty well. And so it's a good success, Unai, what do you think?
Yeah, I think all of them got the answer correctly, and I think they all follow the same tips as you, like what area network wasn't really clear, automatically merging also was kind of the tips for having another incorrect answer, so option B was the correct one.
Excellent. Cool, so we can move on to the next topic, right?
Yeah, and the next topic will be, now we are connecting repositories between each other, it will be related to synchronizing, of course, and the first terminology we have to be reviewing here will be the pooling, okay? But for pooling, coming back a little bit to this whiteboard scenario I was showing you, what we are going to have in the end is your repo having some remote references. Remote in the end, what it's defining is, hey, there's another repo located here, and I want to be taking changes from that one. Taking those changes will be Git pooling, okay? Pushing, as we'll see, is sending your changes to somebody, sending your changes to the remote repository. Pooling will be taking updates from that one into your copy, okay? Mm-hmm. So those are the two main, let's say one of the two most typical commands that I'm using nowadays. I think if I have to say the most common ones that I'm using would be git commit, git pushing, git pooling. What about you, Laurent?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. This is really when you have something which is going on like a normal flow of action, I would say creating the repo happens once, right? So you do it. Cloning happens once in the beginning as well, but then after that you're really committing, pulling, and committing, pushing, and then pulling also when you're collaborating. So totally agree with you there.
Great.
And go ahead.
So I was just telling, I was just giving the introduction to the next slide. So maybe people with more system administrator profile, they kind of think that pooling, as it's copying changes from one place to the other, could be quite similar to these two commands that we are mentioning right here. So the SCP command and the rsync command. I don't know your experience, Laurent, but myself personally, I've never used them, but it's quite interesting to know about them.
Yeah, I think, like you say, it's about being a sysadmin. And when you're a developer like myself, and especially on Windows, those are not commands that we use a lot. But good to know that they exist, and good to know that Git is doing something similar, right?
Yeah. So we'll see that in the end, Git is probably implementing these kind of commands on the background. We have the SCP that will, in the end, copy everything, copy from one folder to the other. And the rsync that has a little bit more intelligence behind it is just copying whatever is different from the other path. Okay, so I would say the second one is more related to what pooling will be doing, even if pooling is a little bit more complete. We'll see that based on what we saw on session number one, it looks at the history and those missing pieces we may have on the Git history, those are the commits we are going to be transferring from one place to the other in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is, in fact, the important thing to know about Git is that it is extremely efficient, right? And so when you pull something, Git is going to look at the commit. And I can probably start sharing again. Git is going to look at the commit and it's going to know what was the latest commit that I had. Because it keeps a list of all that, so it keeps a history of everything if you want, and then it's going to make a pack by taking only what changed since the last time. And this is really good because, like we said, very often the repository, the main repository, if you want, the root, the origin, is located on a server somewhere, and very often you pull everything via web protocols such as HTTP, etc. And so you want this process to be as efficient as possible and as fast as possible. And so this is what happens. There is, give me the differences between the last commit that I have here and whatever you have, the latest commit that you have on the remote origin. And then after that, this is bundled together, downloaded, and then it's unpacked. And then after that, the history, the tree is updated by Git in the local. And like this, we know that we have the latest. So this is pretty good. Creating pull requests. It's also something that we do fairly often when we collaborate, especially when there is a permission issue. So if you have worked like myself, very often we work as a single developer on a repo because we are doing some work and then we are pushing all the time. It's fairly simple because we own this repository and then we can just push into it. But if I start collaborating with something, there is a safety issue, right? Not just in terms of security, but also simply in terms of not having somebody else who might be maybe a developer who is new on the project, who doesn't know the whole history of the project, having this person pushing directly into the repo can be a problem. And so very often what we do is that we disable collaborator, we prevent collaborators from pushing into the repo directly. And this is where the pull request scenario is happening. So how does pull request work? Well, in terms of code, this is what's going to happen. So you're going to say, when I want to push something, I'm going to say git request dash pull, and then I'm going to say minus p, which is a path, origin dash main. So I'm going to say, all right, when I'm pushing something to the origin, to the main branch, don't push directly, but do a pull request instead. And really the main advantage of this pull request scenario, which we are going to illustrate later with a demo, is to provide the owner of the repository with the possibility to do a review before accepting or rejecting the change. And earlier on, we told you that, we talk a little bit about GitHub. I think this is a good place here to talk about GitHub a little bit, because if you have never worked with Git, a good place to start is by looking at open source repositories on GitHub and collaborating with them. And collaborating can be something as simple as correcting a typo in their documentation, for example, right? So if you read the documentation, which is in, for example, in the README file, and then you see there is a typo, there is something, you can actually go and edit that directly. And since you're a collaborator who doesn't have a write privilege on the repo directly, you're probably going to have to submit a pull request, and you're going to see that there is a whole process. In fact, something really interesting is that when you do a pull request, there is also a UI on GitHub for discussion. And this discussion is a great place to know more about the people who maintain this repo, right, Unai?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way I work with. I mean, I'm also giving support with Azure DevOps, so I have the both pull request on Azure DevOps, GitHub, and so, but here's the main idea. As Laurent was saying, in the end, the original repo main branch may be the version of code that you are publishing to production. So mm-hmm. We need to protect it somehow. Okay, and that's what we do with pull request in the end. Instead of sending changes directly, the main branch on the server side will be protected, and people will have to propose changes and saying, hey, these are my changes, this is my experimentation, take a look at it, review it, and if you think it's okay, you will pull it, okay? You will take it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main powers, I think, in terms of Git. More when we talk about GitHub and so that have discussion panels, they have many automation behind that we'll be covering on next sessions, in which you can make your pull requests really complete, make sure that everything works fine before you accept any change.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we do when we evaluate and merge a pull request, right?
Yeah. So in the end, as we are going to be showing it right now, mm-hmm. we'll have our repositories with remote references, knowing where each other are located. One of them, the experimental one, let's say, will create a pull request. The other one, the original one, will have to review it, and we'll have to pull those changes in case we accept them.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you so can also reject them if you're not happy with those changes, of course, right?
Of course, and that's how mainly I think open source works in the end. In order to keep your original repo quite clean, there's many contributions that will be taken into account, but maybe others will be not good enough, or that's where we have the discussions in order to evolve this pull request original petition, go evolving it in order to make an acceptance of a valuable change in here.
Absolutely. So now I think it's time for a new demo, but I'd love to hear more about people on the chat. So don't hesitate to let us know if you think this is valuable content. If you have questions, don't hesitate to ask as well. If you think we are going too fast or too slow, just let us know. But Unai, I think you have a demo to show us, and this is about making a pull request, right?
Yes, so it's going to be the second part of our exercise. Mm-hmm. We'll be trying pull requests and so let me just get it ready. Let's open the Cloud Shell that Laurent was talking about in the beginning. I'll have to probably refresh it yet because it lost connection to it. So let's just reload this one. Just remembering the Cloud Shell is just a cloud-related shell command in the end with a Linux machine on the background that Laurent and I are using for just sharing the same environment. Okay, mm-hmm. Similar to the sandbox you are going to be using in the end. Maybe I'll take a little bit of zoom out. There could be great. So I'll have to jump again to that directory that Laurent was showing before, is the learned life repos directory on capital letters, because this is Unix based. Oh, no, cd learn life repos. We have one that is git session number 2, if I'm not wrong.
Git with session 2, letters. I think, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And there we have the cats folder and a list folder. So let's locate ourselves in a list folder. And if we try to run here, let's see what we have. Okay, we are located probably in a list folder. If I go for listing all the files, here I can see I have the .git. So this is a Git repository. We have the CSS folder and the index.html. We can see that the actual cloning worked. We have the same content that Laurent was working on the cats folder before. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we do a git pull right now, we just clone it, so probably we don't have any change to take. But let's try it. Already up to date. Okay. There's no changes on the cats folder created by Laurent that I should be taking yet. Let's try to work with this a little bit and show you a pull request actual flow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So first thing for that, if I don't remember wrong, Laurent, you didn't specify the Alice related information, right?
That is correct. I didn't.
So I didn't need it
because I didn't push anything, right? So you need it absolutely when you push. But as long as you're just pulling, you don't need to say who you are. In fact, pulling from a repo which is public is always allowed, right? There is no permission there.
And actually, that's the actual reason. We didn't do a commit. And in the commit is where we are saying who did it and when did he do it. Okay, so now we are specifying, hey, my name is Alice. It's not, it's Unai, but for the situation, it's Alice. And alice@contoso.com is the email we have to be using. So with that, we have already created a proper environment for creating our first changes. So I'm going to be opening the site style file, so site.css. with the code editor, and I'm gonna be modifying the second line for this one. So the body will be a little bit different. Okay, so let's create this change, just modifying a little bit the background color for this website, mm-hmm. closing the editor. And from here, this time we are gonna be using the commit directly, but as you see, it's commit minus A, so add all the changes, and M40, change message, so changing background color to light blue. Okay. Now I have an update from Alice's folder that I want to share with Laurent. Okay. And in order to do that, I'm gonna create a pull request. Okay. The main branch from Alice's repository, I wanna introduce my changes into the original's main branch. As we did the cloning in the previous demo, my remote will have a remote reference called origin that is pointing to the cats folder. So that's where we are trying to send these changes. Okay. So we're going to create here git request pull pointing to the origin main branch. Here we'll see a little bit, hey, these are the changes that I'm trying to propose. We changed one file, one deleted line, one added line. Okay, somebody will have to review this before actually accepting this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time to try the first pooling operation, right, Laurent?
Okay.
I'm going to be maybe impersonating yourself. I'm going to be jumping into the cats folder right now.
Absolutely.
And from the cats folder, here we have something missing. Okay, so Alice's folder notes about the cats folder because we cloned from it. But the cats folder, it has been cloned. It doesn't know anything yet about Alice's folder. It doesn't know it's existing. Okay, so that's how we are going to be creating our first remote reference manually from the command line with git remote add, and I'm going to call this remote reference remote dash Alice. I'm going to say to the cat's original repo, hey, there's another repo copy of yours located in Alice's folder.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I have the enough information to pull the first changes. So I know that remote Alice created a pull request before. So there's something pending for me to take, which I can take, as we showed before, by doing a git pull. Okay, mm-hmm. So git pull, remote, Alice, main. And that's where we have the file change, one insertion, one deletion. These changes have been taken. Okay. If we actually open it just for those that may not believe me, okay, if somebody doesn't believe me, let's open the site CSS, which was having a change related to the background color. And we see it right here. Okay, the background mm-hmm. color change, it's right there. Okay.
And here we see something which is quite interesting, I think, which is that the Git gives you the tools to collaborate, but it is lacking some infrastructure, which is, for example, nobody notified me that Alice did a pull request. That would have been done probably by an email or by, you know, a chat message or something. And this is why when we use Git in sites like GitHub or Azure DevOps, etc., in addition to having Git, which is really the foundation of it all, the tooling of it all, there is also all this infrastructure around it, which is very convenient, which is that I would get, for example, a notification if somebody does a pull request to my repo, etc. So this is a nice illustration of the added advantage of using infrastructure around this.
Great. So I think we can share. Well, you can share the screen maybe now again, Laurent,
yeah,
right? Absolutely. We have another whiteboard to show the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we indeed we had some. We did this exercise, and again we saw quite a lot of stuff. So let's maybe recap a little bit with a whiteboard. And so here I prepared a whiteboard, which is going to try to explain a little bit what happened here. And so we had this situation where we had two folders. We had folder one and folder two, folder one being the cat's folder, folder two being Alice's folder. And the cloning is something that is always possible. So again, this is what I mentioned before, cloning, that's why I made this arrow green, you see. Cloning is always allowed. You can always go on, for example, GitHub or anywhere, and if there is a public repo, you can clone it. You can get the code. This is kind of the basic of open source, saying that, you know, the minimum level of open source you can do is at least look into my code, right? You can always clone. So that's good. But then, of course, when you try to push into a repository, this is where the trouble starts, because maybe I don't want you to push into my repository without having a possibility to review the changes first. And this is why pushing very often is not allowed to people who are not officially a collaborator into a project. And this is exactly this process of pull request, where Alice can always submit a pull request. Anybody can always submit a pull request to a public repo. But then there is this blue line, which symbolizes here the review process, where the owner of the repo, the maintainer of the repo, if you want, can go and he can say, yes, I'm going to take your changes, or I'm going to reject them, or you can even go and cherry pick and say, all right, this file here is a good idea, but this one not so much. And then you can select like this what you want to add. So this summarizes a little bit what we had before. And at this point, we can do another knowledge check. So let's check a little bit this question. And here the question is, what Git command makes a copy of an existing repository? And here we have three possibilities. We have Git clone repo-name, all right, the name of the repo. We have Git clone repo path, which is a path of the repo, or we have Git copy repo name. So tick tock, tick tock. What do you think, Unai? What is the correct answer here?
I think one of the options is quite obviously incorrect, right? Maybe we can give that tip. And between the two others, let's leave it kind of open to see what people are voting. I think our audience have it quite clear. Let's give some few more seconds and give the correct answer. So it's quite sure that it's going to be between the first two, right? Between A and B.
I think that it is quite clear. And honestly, the name is not enough to identify a repository uniquely, right? You can have multiple. I'm ready to bet that there are multiple repositories on the internet in the whole wide world called cats. And so it's probably not a great idea to use the name. So it's probably not option A. As for option C, Git copy, well, you know, it could be a possibility, but it so happens that the people who implemented Git decided to use the clone command instead of the copy command. And so that's why it is option B here, which is correct. It is the Git clone command, which takes either a URL or a path to an existing repository as a parameter and then clones it, copies it, makes a deep copy of this repo on your local folder, on your local machine, if you want. So that's great to hear. And now we have another demo. So this is cool. This is the next demo, which is going to be using the shared repo. And what we are going to do here is going to create a bare repository. And I'm going to explain what is a bare repository. It's a special type of repository. So remember, until earlier, right, we did, we did mkdir cat. So we created a cats folder. And then we did mkdir Alice, and we created the Alice folder. And those are a repository where you have a tree, where you have a whole history coming down. But if you want to set a repository which is kind of the root, like the origin for everybody, it's probably better to have a central repository which nobody really owns. It is owned by all the collaborators, if you want. And this repository is what we call a bare repository. Then we are going to set it up for the collaboration, and then we are going to start collaborating using this process, which is going to be a little bit more convenient. So let's go back into the exercise. And here, as you see, I'm just moving on to the next one. But like I said before, here I'm going to continue collaborating here inside this shared session. And if I do dir here, you see that we have still Alice and Kat. So we are having here everything that we have worked on before. So let's clear this to have a little bit more space. And then the next thing that I'm going to do is create this bare repository. And so here there is something which is quite interesting, which is that in Linux, you can have a directory which has an extension, .git. And this is interesting because for me, who comes from Windows, tell you that I was a little bit surprised the first time I saw that, because typically on Windows we don't give an extension to a folder, we give extensions to files. So here it's interesting to know that shared.git is just a folder, just like any other folder. And in fact, if you go to GitHub and you clone a repository from there, you will see that the URL very, like most of the time, actually probably always ends with .git. And again, this is not pointing to a file, it's actually pointing to a bare repository like that. So this calling a bare repository with the .git extension is a convention that we use here. You don't have to call it that, but this is a convention that we do. Then after that, we are inside the bare repository. And so I'm going to initialize it by giving the dash dash bare option. I'm going to say, all right, this is a bare repository. So it is initialized. It is still empty. This is correct. And then I'm going to do something here. Remember that before, when I was impersonating myself, like saying, okay, I'm going to create that, and I did a checkout with the main branch. Now here, because I'm in a bare repository, I cannot do a checkout, but instead I'm going to use here the symbolic reference, which I'm going to call head, and I'm going to point that to the main branch. So it's a little bit a different process, but basically it is telling the bare repository that, all right, you will put the head, which is like the cursor, if you want, like the top level at this moment, into the main branch. And this is what I will do here with this command. So now I have initialized my bare repository, and I will be ready to copy things to it. So what am I going to do now to push the content into the bare repository? I'm going to go back into the cats folder. All right, so I'm into the bare repository here. Now I'm going to simulate that I'm coming back to my machine. And in fact, here, I see that I have a small problem, which is that let's stop here. You know why? It's because I am in the wrong repo. So let's keep that in mind. Or maybe, you know what? I should probably just change to the Git sessions 2 repo, right? So let's go back to cd.dot, okay, dear. And then I'm going to go back into the correct place. And here I'm wondering, let's see who was attentive and who noticed that I made a mistake here. So can you let us know in the chat? I'm sure that somebody was like, no, dude, you're wrong. It's wrong. Okay. So let's go back to Git session 2. Here I'm in the correct place. And this is where I actually want to have my bare repo. So I can go back in time here. I'm going to do this time the correct location. All right. I'm going to initialize this with the bare command. And now I'm going to set the branch. And so sorry about that. This is always a demo effect, right, which happens when you do things live like this. All right, so now I have this. Here. And this is the one that I want to initialize, bare. Okay. And then I promise you I'm going to get it. All right, so let's recap quickly. What did we do here? We went into the correct location, which is the Git session 2. We created this bare repository, and then I initialize it as bare, and then I set the symbolic reference. All right. Now that I have set this symbolic reference, this is where I need to go and push the content from cats into share.git. So this is what I will do now. So let's go here and paste. And now you see that I change into cats. I set here the origin. So remember before we did that already when we did with Alice, right? I said, oh, I want to add a remote, which is called Alice. But this is not very convenient because if you do that, it means that you have to add a remote for just everybody who's collaborating on the project, right? It's not really how we work. What we want to have here, which is a better way of working, is having one central repository, which is like the reference where everybody's pushing and then everybody's pulling from that. And so this is exactly what this command is doing, git remote add origin, and then I add the bare repository. Now, if I do this with GitHub, I would probably use a URL here instead of having the path, but here we are in the file system. And then I'm going to push what I have in my folder into main, and you see that it has pushed my content into the bare repository, into share.git, and like this, we have a reference point where everybody can start collaborating, which is way more convenient. All right, so sorry about this small mishap. I was just in the wrong place, but I think that we managed to recover. So then the next thing I want to do is that I want to take a shortcut, if you want. I want to push and pull always from the main branch in here. And it's not always the case, right? Sometimes I want to pull and push from another branch because people are going to start collaborating on different branches for more security. So very often you have the main branch, which is a production branch, which maybe has some continuous integration, continuous deployment attached to it, like, for example, deploying to a website or pushing an Azure function or doing whatever you want to build. That's the main branch, but people are actually working on branches. Now, here I want to actually push and pull to the main branch because this is a simple project. And so I'm going to set here the upstream to origin main. So I'm telling here my repository that every time I do a push and a pull, this is going to act here on this main branch in the origin folder, which is the shared Git here, the bare repository. All right. So then we are going to set up for collaborators. And the next step is to have Bob joining the project. Bob is also very interested in cats. And he wants to start doing some work here. And so Bob is going to create his own folder. And again, in reality, he would be on his own machine. So let's do that. We are going to cd dot dot, going back to the root, create the Bob folder, and then change to this Bob folder. And then after that, we are going to clone the repo. And again, we are cloning. That's what we did the first time with Alice. But this time we clone from shared.git, which means that we are cloning from the reference repository, if you want. And this is going to make our life much easier. So now if I do a dir, you see that we have pulled everything. This is the latest version. Let's go back to Alice, because again, this is collaboration, which means that everybody is going to work. And of course, Alice, what Alice wants to do here is to set the remote to this shared.git. So here Alice says, all right, I don't want to pull directly from the cats folder because the cats folder belongs to Laurent and Unai and they are working on their own, but I want to actually push everything there directly to shared.git. So this is done here. And then the next step is to begin collaborating. So if you want to collaborate, you need to set a name and an email, right? We did that for Alice before. We did that also on the cat folder. So let's do that for Bob now. So I'm going to go back to Bob and config the username and the email for Bob. And then after that, we are going to add something to the the index.html. So I'm going to copy that. I'm going to do code index.html. And what I want to add is a footer. So I'm going to replace here this horizontal bar, HR, which is a horizontal ruler, with a footer. And I'm going to save that here and close the editor. So this is Bob's contribution. Bob is very good at HTML. And then after that, he wants to push that because he says, okay, I did contribute to the project. I added something. So I'm going to commit that. And here you see that we are using here commit-a, which means that I have done the add period that we did earlier on. I'm just condensing everything into one single command. And then I say I put a footer at the bottom of the page. Again, the importance of a good commit message when you are collaborating. And then I'm going to push. Now push here, again, it's a shortcut. I'm saying I'm pushing to the origin main because this is how my repository is set up. And you see that it has pushed to shared.git just like I configured. So at this point, this is cool. We are collaborating, right? This is good. We didn't have this warning. If this warning happens to you, don't worry about it. Just check what is written here. It's just some default behaviors that could happen that you can modify. But now Bob edited the file, but Alice is making some changes as well at the same time. And this is the beauty of this distributed environment, is that multiple people can work at the same time. So let's imagine again that I am Alice now, all right? I'm going to go and edit this index.html file. So let's do code index.html. And notice that at this point, Alice didn't pull the changes, all right? She's editing her own local copy right? So at some point, it's going to probably create a conflict, right? We need to be a little bit careful here. You see that there is no footer here, but that's fine. We are just going to add a navigation bar. Let's do that, save and close. And then the next step for Alice is going to modify here the site CSS and to add some, you know, some styling for this navigation bar. So I'm going to change to CSS. I'm going to code site.css. And then here I'm going to add this navigation bar and let's press save and close the editor. All right. So now I have done some local changes. That's cool. But, you know, Alice is at this point is getting an email from Bob and Bob says, hey, by the way, I pushed something. And Alice is like, oh, no, you pushed something, but I'm also modifying those files. Right. You see my acting classes are really showing up here. Right.
Amazing.
Amazing. Right. I know the drama. You can read the drama. So Alice is going to say, well, you know, let's see the changes that Bob did. And pulling changes, we know how to do that. We can do a git pull, okay? So let's do that. If I do a git pull now, then we start having some issues because Alice has some changes and Git is unable to merge those changes automatically because they conflict, all right? And this is what here it tells me. It tells me your local changes to the following files would be overwritten by the merge index.html. And really, we have a problem here. So how can we work? Well, there are different ways of working. You can do a quick compare and do a manual merge or something like that. What we are going to do here is that we are going to use a new command that we didn't use yet. First of all, we are going to do a difference here. So we are going to say, all right, let's do a git diff, which is going to change to show me what changed. So let's paste that. All right. And then here we go. We don't have an output here for some reason, interestingly. But whatever happens here, even though it didn't want to change me the output here for some reason, I'm not sure. There is some tooling here which is going to show you what changed. And this is very similar to what we saw before where we saw the insertion and the changes and all that. And clearly, this is going to conflict. And so what we can do here is use this command that we didn't use before, which is stashing. Now, stashing, like the name shows, is going to take all the changes and it's going to put that into a stash, into a hiding place, if you want, so that you can reach them later. So let's do that. Let's do git stash. And once we do git stash, we have saved something which is WEP, right? So work in progress. And we have changed this commit, which was change background color to light blue. All right. So this is we are now reset to this old commit, if you want. And now at this point, if I decide to do a pull, then we should be able to do the pull. So let's do the pull first, git pull. All right. This time we don't have a problem. You see that I had one file change, one insertion, one deletion. This sounds correct. And then we are going to restore the file that we changed doing git stash pop. And pop meaning that it's a stack if you want. So whatever you put first when you do pop is going to come out first as well. And you can stash multiple things, by the way, in the stash. So let's do that. Now we see that, okay, it has been restored to the changes that I had before. We have two file modified, site CSS and index.html. And so now we are basically to the place where we were before, but at this time it has been merged automatically, which is good. Okay, auto merging index.html. So now the change has been merged, and we can make one more change if we want. So here we know that there is a footer now, so we can go and edit the HTML, the CSS. Sorry, so code site.css. Here we go. And now instead of having just a navigation like that, I'm going to set this style for the navigation and for the footer as well. And now finally, I would say We are ready to commit that. So all the changes that we have, including the merge things, now we can say, all right, I'm going to, let's go back just to the root. And then we can say, all right, now I want to commit and I want to push that to the main branch into this bare repository. So that was quite a lot of things, but maybe we can explain quickly what we did, right? And I believe you also have something to summarize that, Unai?
Yeah, Laurent. So I have another whiteboard just to summarize everything. As you see, it's just playing some games between the remote paths, cloning, pushing, pulling. This is learning by experience. So yeah, you just need to play with it to get some easiness with this tooling in the end. So absolutely. I was actually trying myself for some reason, Laurent, I was trying the same command as you, and I could find that the git diff origin was actually working. Okay. This was in the point where we were trying to get bob changes, but we are also modifying the same file. So we could see here, hey, bob was modifying this file, this line right here, we are modifying the other one. That's why the pulling wasn't actually working, okay? And that's where the stashing came to help us in the end, putting our work aside a little bit, getting the changes, popping them up again, and then continue working with that work that you may left a little bit on one side for a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So it's a good thing that that it's working for you. I know why it was not working for me. It's because I was in the wrong folder. I was in the CSS folder. And so, of course, it didn't find this index.html. So, again, my bad. And, yeah, good thing that you can show that. So, again, right, the merge failed because of those issues. You can always do a diff and compare this. And let's explain a little bit more clearly what happened, Unai.
Yeah, so in the end, what we had in the beginning was the cats folders was being shared, but it wasn't really a central repository. You saw that the communication between each other was getting a little bit messy. Mm-hmm. So in the end, what we did is we'll create a bare repository, which was going to be in the end the central repository where all the communication is going to flow. Normally, this bare repository, when we work with GitHub, Azure DevOps, and this kind of tooling, will be replaced by GitHub or Azure DevOps, okay? The main repository will be on the server side, on this website, and we'll have different local copies. Each developer will have its own local copy with a remote reference to the original one by default. When you are cloning, there's a remote origin created for you from the repository you just cloned. And from there, pushing, pulling changes, normally jumping into experimentation branches, and from there, pull requesting to the main one. Okay, that's frequent X scenario we are going to be working with, but more about that in the next three sessions. Coming back to the session we are delivering right now and the last demo, so we had Alice's folder, the cats folder, and Bob's folder. This Alice and Katz already had some remote references. What we did is just replace them and point all of them to the shared Git origin repository. So all the communication will flow through that one. Okay, so Bob created a clone for it. It started doing some changes in some files. It pushed those changes into the shared.git. While Alice was also working in the same files, it wanted to pull the changes. That's the first time where we had an issue, so that Alice had to work with stashing those changes for some time, being able to run the pull successfully, popping back the stashing so she could work on her changes and push them back to the shared.git. So we see that how the shared.git bare repository comes in the middle in order to help us the communication and collaboration between these three friends that met each other in the pizza party.
Right. And it's important to remind everyone that even though we have a bare repository like the shared.git, It's still a distributed source system, right? Because distributed doesn't mean that you're not going through a shared repository. Distributed means that everybody has a deep copy of the of everything which was in this repository. And the fact that we have a shared.git here is really merely for convenience. It is absolutely more convenient to have this situation. But as you saw in the earlier demo, it is actually possible to do a pull and a push from one folder to another without going through a bare repository. So again, it is still absolutely a distributed folder. All right, cool. So let's go to the next knowledge check, because we are almost at the end and we have still a little bit of time here. So let's talk a little bit about the next knowledge check. And first of all, what I would like you to tell me is what Git command can be used to save current changes, but without using a pull request. So basically, if we want to temporarily put them to the side, and here we have three possibilities. We have Git stash, Git save, or Git store. So who knows what command is used here? What do you think, Unai?
I think I know it because it was quite recent from the demo, but let's give some time to our attendees to think about it. We have the saving, we have a storing, and a stashing.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if there's some few answers coming from our attendees.
All right, the suspense is killing me, but I really hope that everybody knows. Well, you know, you never know, right? I mean, save and store and stash, it all makes sense. But we just said before, I see votes coming in. Okay, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Let's wait for one more vote. All right, two votes for stash. I think it's pretty clear that it is Git stash, in fact. And yes, this is the name of the command. You take everything that you change, you stash it. And again, remember that this is a stack mechanism where you can push things, but you can also pop things from there. So the next one would be Git stash pop, right? All right, and then we have one more knowledge check. So why don't you take this one, Unai?
Yeah, sure. So suppose you have a project that has 10 files in your local working branch of the repo. You recently updated three of the files: talk.yaml, intro.txt, and exercise.json. Now you want to create a pull request for only the changes to the JSON file. What set of Git commands should you use to create a pull request for only those changes? Okay, so we just want to add the changes on the JSON file. So option A would be git add dot period, or git add period, git commit with a message, git push origin, working branch. Option B, git add exercise.json, git commit minus m and the message, plus git push origin working branch. And the last one would be git add exercise, git commit with a message, and git push remote working branch. Which option do you think is the correct one, Laurent?
Yeah, so this is it's kind of tricky because we have two options here, which are actually legal, which are actually correct from a Git syntax standpoint. But there is only one, and this is where reading, you know, when you do those certification exams, you need to read very carefully the question, because here there is something very specific. It says you only want to save the changes to the JSON file. We only want to save one single file. And so as a reminder, if you do a git add period, it's going to add all the changes to the local folder and to the subfolders. And so this is why it seems indeed that the correct answer is answer B. And it is, in fact, what the majority have chosen. And I'm sure that the person who chose answer A, and that was also the first person to answer, right? You were very excited. You said, oh, this is syntax that I know. Git add period works. And indeed, it's true, it works. But the thing is, read very carefully what it says, because there is only one file that we want to push. And this is what the option B is doing, git add exercise the JSON. And this is something we have not talked about yet in this particular module. I believe you talked about it in last week module, but not this time. And finally, option C, if you do git add exercise, Linux is going to tell you what is exercise. I don't know what exercise means because the full qualified name of the file is exercise.json. All right, so at this time, we are at the end of this module. So really, congratulations to everyone. You have learned how to use Git to collaborate with other people that you meet at a pizza party or, you know, wherever we meet developers. I think when we meet developers, there are chances that there is pizza involved. So this is really cool. You have learned how to clone a repo, how to stash changes, how to push changes to a repo. And we also talked about what pull requests are and how to initiate a pull request and why you would want to do that. All right, so like we said, this is one module of a learning path. This learning path has four modules. So this is where you can go if you want to try it by yourself. If you go to aka.ms/learn-git-collaborate, then you will land directly into this module, and then you can try the exercises by yourself. So as soon as this is over, we encourage you to head over there and do the exercise again to consolidate what you have learned right now. And Unai, you're going to continue to do more work on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, just a reminder right here. So I did the first session with Peter, Introduction to Git. We just been here explaining the second session, collaborating with Git, Laurent and I. We have other two sessions coming, May 10th, Edit Code Through Branching and Merging. So more on collaboration, not just working with main branches, how you create your own independent branch with changes, experimentations and so. And finally, Git and GitHub, okay, the normal way of working with this kind of tooling, having GitHub, Azure DevOps, this kind of tooling on the background, making our life with Git a little bit easier. Okay, so just remember to add those sessions on your calendar. If you put aka.ms/learn-git, you can add those appointments to your calendar to remember the live sessions. You can watch the recordings from this one and the previous sessions too, from aka.ms/learn-live. It has been a pleasure to be in this session with you, Laurent. I had a lot of fun. What about you?
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, bar the small issue with the demo, but this is what we call demo effect. And if you don't have that, well, that was kind of the proof that it was a live demo and not a pre-recorded demo. Nonetheless, I had a lot of fun showing that to you all. And Unai, it was a pleasure working with you, and I hope we'll do that again very soon.
Thank you all for coming. See you soon.
Bye-bye.